This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I am recording, ready to clap.
Let me cough it out.
This needs to be on air, Marissa. You don't understand. This
I'm recording.
Is
my... It is on air.
Okay, good.
We just haven't clapped yet.
Ready? I'm already so thoroughly exhausted, Gio. We haven't even clapped yet.
Okay. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, it's exactly on the money.
That was good.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm excited.
Can't say I am.
It's time for Punch the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Should I introduce this? Who's in charge? Are you in charge? Am I in charge?
You're in charge, please.
Okay, welcome to this weird episode! I have made my producer, Marissa. Marissa, that now you say something. Go.
Hi, it's me, Marissa. Hello.
For people who don't know the lore, the legend, Marissa Melnick, she is the producer of this show. How long have you been producing this show? Like 2 years?
I don't know. I guess... Yeah, sounds about right. Sure.
When I was in LA, you were in studio, which was very fun to try to make you laugh in the corner. And then you've continued to edit and produce now remotely, way before it was trendy. And now I have finally convinced you to be on air with like a special Q&A to break up this hiatus until we're back officially in July. And I'm so grateful that you've done this. Thank you. I'm so excited to see what questions you've picked.
You're very welcome. Yeah, we have a lot of great questions. So for those of you who may not follow Punch Up the Jam on social media, we posted a call out a few days ago on Twitter, Instagram, and on Patreon for a very special meal bag episode.
To be clear, that was Marissa's idea, and I do love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because it's like a mailbag, but for questions for meal, so it's a mailbag.
I'm really glad you clarified. I don't think it was clear.
Yeah. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to catch up first or do you want to just get right into it? Because I feel like with some of the questions, they might open up to...
Then let's just do that. I mean, I always feel like as a listener, when I listen to a Q&A type episode, I'm just looking for like a break from format and some sense of like... just two ladies having a chat. So honestly, let's just ask some questions and see what happens. I'm ready to get so fucking weird. I already feel so fucked up. Like, let's record something and see how it goes.
Yeah, just a heads up for the listeners. Both Miel and I have very weird energies today. Just very anxious, crazy energies. So
I wonder why. I wonder why we might feel that way. That's so crazy.
But hey, we wanted to get you some special content on the feed because we know it's been a while.
And also, absolutely check the episode description for links to all the various places that you can and should be donating right now. Thank you so much. And also, let me specify, not right now, always and forever. Thank you so much. So ask a question. Let's see what happens. I'm ready to feel so fucked up. I'm ready to bond with you over this horrible experience.
So I picked this question specifically to be the first one because I feel like it's a good introduction. This comes from warning_virus on Instagram. I know I shouldn't have picked him, but...
It's in the name. It's a warning and it's a virus. Can you contaminate a Zoom? What's happening?
It's just such a nice question. They ask, how are you?
Oh my God. Marissa, what questions did you pick? I'm scared. How am I? Yeah, I feel very red pilled. I definitely feel like, I don't even feel like it's almost like appropriate to be answering how I feel right now, because I don't think that the onus is on me as like an extremely privileged white lady to be like, honestly, you guys, I'm so stressed out, or like, oh, this is just so sad because I'm an empath. Like, fuck that. I feel invigorated. I feel fucking angry. I feel hopeful. I feel tired. I feel excited. I feel appreciative. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I woke up and I'm ready to fucking fight. I feel kind of ready to throw hands. And I also, more than anything, feel very sweaty.
Oh, yeah. I've been so sweaty. Have you worn deodorant once in quarantine yet?
Great question. This, just to be clear, is not from the Instagram. This is from Marissa. I have been wearing deodorant. Thank you for asking. I'm a stinky girl. My ex-boyfriend told me I smell like chili cheese fries. So I feel like I need to wear deodorant every day. However, in my quarantine project of experimenting with self-tanning lotion, It has been causing me to get a really delightful white patch under my armpit hair. Don't know if you can see that
because you like sweat it out, or
so. Yeah, when it stays wet, the self tan can't stick, and so now I just have like a gentle little hole right into my white sole under my armpit. Can you see it for people at home? I'm trying to show Marissa for Zoom video. Can you see it?
Yes, yes, I can see it.
Also, we should have a word too. Okay, let's make two code words now before we go any further. One is when you don't want to talk and you're just feeling weird. So that maybe that word could be shish kebab for you.
How about it'll just be a thumbs up?
You can't hear that though. It's a podcast, Marissa.
Oh, well,
you're going to say, what's the game you love playing? You say Beat Saber, and then that's my cue. Okay, that's your safe word. And then for me, I'll have a question. I'll have a safe word for when I'm ready for the next question. So for me, it's going to be pelican.
Okay.
Great. I'm glad to have some rules. Any group sex or group podcast activity, they have the same rules. You need safe words. Continue, pelican.
Okay. This comes from Marissa B on Instagram. She says, I'm interested in hearing you take time to reflect on the punch life post Demi. How was that transition for you? What's been great? What's been hard? And remember to congratulate yourself at the end of this question because you deserve a heart emoji.
Wow. Okay, Marissa B, thank you. Wow. I don't feel like I deserve support right now, but fuck. All right, I'll take it. Thank you so much. Wow, loaded question. What if I was like the positives? Fuck that guy. Glad to have him out. No. Honestly, it's mostly just been a really interesting. How long's it been now? Almost a year, I guess, since he first was like, I'm going to be done after this. It's been a really interesting time of transition and like fleshing things out and seeing how it feels. And
may I say we've had a lot of like technical trouble, which has been really tough.
Oh, you don't know the half of it, people at home. Yeah, it has been. I've had the worst year of my life in so many ways, but one of them that I did not expect was technology. I've had laptops have problems that the Apple people are like, this shouldn't be possible. I've had my phone have problems that they're like, this shouldn't be possible.
Your hard drive as well.
Oh my God, I lost everything. How did I forget the hard drive saga? Did I mention this on air?
I don't think it was ever mentioned. It might be an interesting story, a little behind the scenes of when you were transitioning to New York and we were trying to find you a studio. We had found a few podcast recording studios online.
Oh my God.
And they didn't go so well.
I'm still on the mailing list for a few of them. So like I moved to New York kind of suddenly. Was I trying to escape some very serious personal drama? Perhaps. Who's to say? But suddenly I had no studio because even though HeadGum has a studio here, it was under construction for the first like 3 months I lived here. So I would just bop around from place to place hoping to find some, you know, holy land that would just work. I just wanted one place that would work. The first place, not to name names, the engineers.
May I say what the requirements were? So this, we were looking for a studio that could accommodate two people on microphone.
Yep.
And include a third line that we could run sound effects from.
Yep. It's pretty simple. Multi-track recording.
Multi-track recording.
That's all we needed. This is something that I do from home. You do from home. It's really not difficult. The first place was I shouldn't physically describe it. You'll be able to figure out what it is. The engineer was on mic and just kept talking. And I was like, surely you know this isn't normal. So that was a fun edit. The second place, I really can't give too many specifics because I'll just be dragging places. But one place had no AC on a particularly sweltering day where I actually took a picture of my seat after recording because I had been wearing a dress and I had sweat so much that I had a perfect butt imprint on my stool. My poor guest and I were just pouring sweat the entire recording. And that already, I was like, I probably won't come here again. Like, that's kind of a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. But then when they went to put the files on my hard drive so I could send them to you to edit, they corrupted my hard drive. They plugged it and unplugged it about four times without ejecting it properly. That hard drive had, and this may have been my mistake, it was the only backup for like bunch of very precious files for various projects that I didn't have anywhere else. And that was 3 months of working with a computer restoration place trying to get them to recover it. I had to pay for all of it myself. I was just like, what the fuck is happening? But in terms of the show after Demi, I guess that has been a big transition. It's been figuring out how to make this work, working remotely with you, but that's not really Demi related. That's having moved to New York. The real transition after Demi is trying to figure out if I want to co-host, if I do this independently, how much I want the guests to impact the outcome of the show. I hate podcasts where it's just like, the host does their thing and the guest just like gets a word in edgewise a couple of times. Like, I think that's so rude to ask someone to come on your podcast to just watch you perform. But simultaneously with a show like this, like, it puts a lot of the onus in the guest's hands if it's just like, it's half on you to make this entertaining. And we have had an experience or two where the guest just like kind of didn't give me anything to work with, and ultimately we didn't release that episode. So it's like, it has felt like kind of out of my control in a lot of ways. It's been really uncomfortable, but simultaneously I've been learning so much, and I think it's really forced me as a performer to have to get so good at adapting to any circumstance. Also, I've had so many guests that I am meeting for the first time moments before recording. Because that's just the nature of having guests every single week. Like, you cycle through everyone you know pretty quickly. And then also the workload has doubled, because when I first said I was going to do this alone, I was like, and some episodes won't have punch ups. I did one episode without a punch up, the Black Backstreet Boys episode. And I saw at least like a dozen comments being like, how could she? Like, how dare she? Like,
that was like made very clear from the start that like not every week will have a punch up. And then you ended up only not having a punch up once or twice now with Eye to Eye.
Exactly. Right. And also, I feel like my understanding and listeners, like, please let me know if I have this incorrect. My understanding is that the main draw for this show is just like getting to unpack a song and dissect it. And now, especially with Rob, like, you really get to have some music comprehension incorporated. And to me, that's kind of the fun of making this show. The punch up is just kind of like an added bit on the end that, like, take it or leave it. Like, it's kind of just for fun. Unfortunately, it is in the title of the podcast, so I feel like we can't completely do away with it. But like, moving forward, it would be really fun to get to just discuss perfect songs. Like, I'm tired of like ragging on shit. I love to just discuss shit I love, and it's really hard. The drawback there is like, how do I possibly rewrite this? So I don't know, I might just, we'll see how it goes. But mostly it's just been a lot more work, and that's the major bummer. But the great thing is, I think that it's really enabled me to come into my own as like a performer and as a host, and not to feel like I'm defaulting to another person. Even though I love collaborating and I love working with Demi, I just feel like, maybe this is like being a woman, I feel so much like I'm not an authority to speak on anything. And now, being a sole host of a podcast, like, I kind of have to just get over that. So I think it's been really helpful in my journey of like self-empowerment in that way.
Nice.
That's probably way too long of an answer.
No, I thought that was a really great answer.
Okay.
This kind of segues to the next question, which is from Arso Lozano on Instagram. He says, how did you and Rob meet?
Oh my God. It's such a long story. Okay. How many details do I want to include here? Okay. I was home for the summer my first year living in LA. So this was 2009. I was on Orcas, and there's this like community theater on the island called the Orcas Center, very creatively titled. And I didn't really know that crew very well who worked there, but I guess they knew me. And the director called me one afternoon and was like, hi, Miel. And I was like, who is this? She was like, I know that you're a musician in LA and that you love Sufjan Stevens. And I have a musician in residence that I think you should come see this show, because I think that this would be really important for you as a musician to see. And also, we're really excited to have him here because he has performed with Sufjan Stevens. And so I was like, yeah, if you're offering me a free ticket, I'm coming. Like, what else am I doing? Like, playing with my parents' dogs? I'm home for the summer as a grown woman. Like, yes, I'm coming. So I go, and one of the musicians that this guy brought to support him is Rob Moose. I think that it was a setup. I think that like the island was conspiring for us to date each other, me and this other guy, not Rob. But wouldn't you know, I bring my dad to the show with me as my plus one, and he meets this musician, singer-songwriter guy. My dad offers that he has a recording studio at his house. The singer-songwriter guy like takes note. And then circles back a little while later after he's long left Orcus and is like, hey, so wait, can I actually record my next album there? Because it's like way cheaper than, you know, a regular studio. And my dad had offered it. And so when he did end up coming back to record the album, he brought Rob again to play on his album. And Rob just like hit it off so hard with my family and they became super tight. And suddenly Rob was just like part of the gang. And like, and then anytime he was in LA, we would have these like fun ass excursions. Like I got to see him perform a million times. Like I've gotten to go to so many incredible shows because Rob's playing in them. And like, we just had like, and at this point, 11 years of friendship.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy how it just kind of happened. And we met in my hometown, which is like, what are the odds? Yeah, so we've kind of like been involved in each other's lives for an extremely long time now. And I honestly feel so lucky because he's like such a, he's really challenged me as like a musician and as a listener to really expand my horizons in such a way. And I genuinely think I listen to music differently because I know Rob Moose. So I feel really fortunate to have him in my life. So thanks to that musician guy, that failed setup, honestly, mm-hmm. and the director of the Orcus Center in 2009. Thank you so much.
And I really want to shout out just like how well produced his segment is. And he does that all on his own.
He does that all on his own. And really keeping it in the family. My brother is the one who helped him set up his home studio to do that.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so cute.
We're all in this together.
As I was jumping on Zoom, that was like the first thing Yel said was just her singing. And I think it was that song.
No, it was actually Janet Jackson, Together Again, because that's on the playlist I'm putting together for Patreon this month. And I can't get it out of my head. Dream about us together again.
That's a great segue to this question, which comes from Juju Ghouls on Twitter. How do you go about making the playlist for Patreon? Does the mood / theme happen first, or do you describe a mood / theme around the music?
Oh, that's such a good question. It so depends. Like, I try not to go into them with an idea of what I want to do because it's for Patreon. I want the patrons to decide what they want. However, I also don't want to put all the weight of like the choice on them. So I try to find some kind of midpoint of like, here's what you wanted and here's what I could come up with. Because the main thing to me is that it's a playlist that I would want to listen to. And so if it just feels like a random amalgamation of songs, then who is that for? Like, yeah, maybe it fits the theme they chose, but is it ultimately a good playlist or is it just checking the boxes? So I feel like it has to be a vibe that I truly understand. And usually that looks like first just throwing a shitload of songs on it and then going through and figuring out like the commonality and eliminating all the ones that don't fit. And then finding probably about five more now that I have narrowed down the exact tone. But it is something that I'm embarrassed to admit, really, I think about a lot.
That's great. You're passionate about it. And your playlists are very good. Like the steaming and dreaming one I really liked.
Oh my God. Thank you. Honestly, if I could somehow finagle like the evolution of this podcast into just being like curating, that would be kind of a dream come true for me. I love curating.
Oh, this is a good question. It comes from Daniel J. Saharis on Instagram.
Oh, with a name like that, that's going to be a good question.
They say, have there been any lessons you've learned from the pod that you are applying to your own songwriting or singing?
Oh my God. Great timing. I do have an album coming out next month.
You should keep listeners updated with your album and keep me updated because I haven't really asked you about it. How's the album going?
It's fully done. Masters are finished. Everything's good to go. I'm just finalizing promo, marketing, and release dates, but those are kind of, I'm not announcing them just yet, but they are set. So
could you say what it's called?
Should I reveal it on this episode? Okay, yeah. The album is called Tourist Season.
Ooh.
And You're going to have to stay tuned. Check me out on Instagram and Twitter, because that's where I'll be posting the updates in, honestly, probably very quickly after this comes out. But I'm extremely nervous about it. I've only been working on it for a year. It's fine.
I'm sure it'll be good. I remember, was it on episode 100 you announced it, and then you also played a clip of it, and the clip sounded awesome.
That's the third single, but you'll find out soon. calm down. Woo, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Yes, the way that I listen to music has dramatically changed from doing this podcast. In fact, I could not, you could not pay me enough to go back and listen to old episodes now. I was such a dick. It's actually upsetting. Sometimes keeps me up at night knowing that listeners continue to listen to old episodes or even listen to them out of order. Cause I'm just no. I was such an idiot. I was so harsh. I was so critical. I was so lacking in understanding of not to say songwriting is hard, but just that you don't get to control which of your songs becomes popular. And so the songs we cover on this show, I feel like a lot of them are the artists' probably least favorite songs they've written. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like so often the songs that become the hits are the ones that you just wrote in an hour and shit something out. And obviously no one would ever regret that. It is largely why people are able to stay making music or retire, is because they had those songs. But to be so incredibly harsh of a song like that, you know, it's just it almost feels like punching down. It's just such low hanging fruit that now I think it's so much more interesting to try to find what makes it good, what makes it fun. Or if there's really nothing redeemable about it, I don't know. I'm just not interested in perpetuating that kind of snark commentary anymore in a way that I definitely was before. Unless it really feels deserved. If you write some fucked up lyric about an oppressed group, I'm going to drag you to hell. But otherwise, you put in a cheesy synth sound? fuck you. I'm not interested in that anymore. So I think it's made me way more forgiving, and I think that has applied to my own songwriting, because I wonder, this is a question for my therapist, I wonder if it's a coincidence that I had such a drought in my own songwriting and an even bigger drought in releasing as an artist that seems to have suddenly been empowered after doing this podcast. You know what I mean? I do wonder if maybe my understanding of music and having kind of that catharsis with feeling actually, you know what, maybe it's okay, has trickled into the way that I view my own process, just to be a little bit less precious about it. I don't know. I hope so. Maybe. Who's to say? Again, call my therapist. Bleep this. Her number is...
Again, you don't have to actually say the number.
So everyone, give her a call, ask her what's wrong with me. Maybe she'll have a better answer for you.
This question has come up by a few people. I didn't write it down here, but to make it about myself, people have asked me, when am I going to be on the podcast?
And thank you for bringing that up. Okay, first of all, people know I have been demanding Marissa be on this podcast for 2 years. And she keeps going, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I guess if I was, I would do Linkin Park, but I don't know. And it's okay, so when are we doing it?
I still stand by that. However, I was listening to Linkin Park, and I've been listening to Linkin Park for a while now, thinking, what would I say on the podcast? And I have, nothing interesting to say other than, I like this song. I think it's neat.
Marissa, I have never had anything interesting to say in my life, and that hasn't stopped me. It's just a confidence issue.
I worry, though, because, so as previously mentioned, there was an episode we didn't air because just the content wasn't great, and I'm like, that would be my episode. I would have nothing to say.
That's the thing. I feel competent enough as a host that even if you felt like you didn't have anything to contribute, I could get something out of you. I think that episode was just that the guest was not down to clown. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's well, what can I do in that scenario? If you're over this before we've even started taping, then there's nowhere to, I have no way to win, mm-hmm, other than to just make an ass of myself and hope that maybe we can bond over this apparent mutual hatred of me. But I am not seeing it happening.
Well,
So everyone tweet at Mars Mel, come on the fucking pod.
I don't want to go on the pod.
Okay, sorry. That is a boundary and we're respecting it. Marissa's not coming on the pod. Do not tweet that at her.
Yeah, I will never guest on this podcast ever.
You're doing it right now, bitch. Got him. Got him.
But yeah, so a reason I have been popping up on podcasts now is now that everyone's recording remotely, I have my own setup at home. I bought like a microphone.
Yeah, you bought like a PewDiePie chair. You're like a real gamer right now.
How dare you call it a PewDiePie chair? It's my brother's hand-me-down gaming chair, which has been awesome.
Oh, sorry. It's just a hand-me-down gaming chair. My mistake.
Much better than a PewDiePie chair. But yeah, so I actually got a microphone set up because everyone was going remote and everyone kept asking like, what's the best USB microphone to get? And I'm like, I don't know. So I just bought one to test it out. And that's what I've been suggesting to host now. But now that I have a microphone, I can actually contribute.
You have
I've been
excuse.
Contributing on like some pods. But another reason I'm hesitant is like, in quarantine, I'm not speaking to anyone except my parents.
Again, this has not stopped me. I'm not speaking to anyone. I have been isolating alone for 3+ months.
But also, I flew back to Canada in February to renew my visa, and then I ended up staying because of the whole corona situation. But because I'm now in Canada and I don't have my health insurance, because I'm no longer working full-time at HeadGum, I had to stop going to therapy because I couldn't just pay for therapy anymore. So I haven't been to therapy since quarantine started.
So now you're really afraid of being on air.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm afraid that podcasts will be like my therapy sessions and I don't want that happening.
Again, I will say for the third time, that has not stopped me. What's the next question? Go ahead, Pelican.
This is a fun one. Emma Jacobs on Instagram asks, if you went back to your Vine era self and told her you have a podcast, would she bully you?
Absolutely. Podcasting is not something I'm ever like, oh, this is my path, man. Like, I always thought I was gonna be like a TV writer. Like, I thought that was my path. And now I'm like about to be 31 and I'm like, so I've only really dabbled in that field and I have such a larger body of work as like a digital creator. I guess that's what I am, huh? And now it's like when I get recognized on the street now, it used to be obviously Vine, and now it's like, I love Punch Up the Jam. So I think it's time to accept, like, I'm a podcaster, and honestly, I'm okay with that. I don't think there are enough women in podcasting, so I don't feel like when I say podcaster, I don't put myself in the same category as, I won't name names, but when we think of podcasting... The type of people, if we were a Venn diagram, we would be simply the Earth and Pluto. I try not to put myself in that umbrella because ultimately, like, imagine being like, I'm a TV star and then comparing yourself to like the worst ones. Like, it's just too broad of an umbrella to feel like it's got stigma attached to it anymore. But that's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm. That's a good segue to this question from IRL Hannah on Instagram. She says, Miel, what made you decide to focus on music and comedy after working as a pastry chef?
Somebody's been reading my fake Wikipedia. I'm not on Wikipedia still. I don't understand. It's fine. I'm not upset about it, but I am a little upset about it, but it's fine. Thank you for seeing me, IRL Hannah. Wow. Okay. I would say in a nutshell, I did music and comedy as long as I've done food before even. I just didn't know that it was a viable career option. I feel like maybe this is a female thing, not to keep making it about being a woman, but like I did not feel confident that I could make money in any field other than ones that like had traditional avenues. I felt like if I wasn't on like a payroll, then I probably wasn't capable of making money. Like I just didn't feel that kind of blind confidence that I think you kind of need to have to even consider a career in music or comedy or any art for that matter. Like it's that you have to really fucking believe in yourself. So I just ended up doing food professionally because I was like, well, this is obviously the only viable choice for me. But once I started becoming popular online, I was like, wait, maybe I could do this. Fuck it. And I feel like that's kind of what gave me the boost to really take the plunge. And then a little ways down the line, having pursued comedy now for a few years, trying to come up with a podcast concept with Demi, it was like, oh, well, music's this thing we have in common as well. So maybe we incorporate that. And that felt like such a great thing for me, because I always felt like I was trying to reconcile all these sides of myself that maybe didn't seem like they made any sense together. And now I'm like, no, they're all connected. Ultimately, it's just creativity. Like for me, as like a creative person, I just need to be able to be making stuff all the time, or I feel like I'm going to die. It's a disease, honestly. I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. But getting to connect music and comedy, it feels like I feel really lucky that I get to do this. And I'm really like, it's part of why I'm really nervous about this album release too, is because like, how's it going to be without the comedy? Like, are people going to be like, wait, what? This isn't what we want from you. Like, this is so weird and serious. Or like, are they going to be like, why did you ever do comedy? Like, I don't know. We'll find out.
That reminds me, when I was bringing up my Google Drive doc with the questions and I named it Meal Bag, I'd searched up Meal. The second suggestion that came up was Demi and Meal podcast from 2017. And this is the original notes I took for the meeting. This is last edited November 29th, 2017.
Oh my God. That's almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. Do you want me to read a little bit of my notes?
Yeah. What does it say?
So it says Demi and Meal podcast, Punch Up the Jam, 1 hour to 1.5 hour in duration. Background. Both Meal and Demi have a background of mashing up music together. They separately have been creating viral mashups, virals, viral mashups, and posting them on social media with good success. Both have experience mixing music, with Miel's background previously being in music. Both are ex-Viners.
Oh my God, ex-Viners. Wow. That, I cannot believe HeadGum agreed to this show based on that. That's not a good pitch. That's a bad pitch.
I was stoked for it. I think I said at the end of the meeting, I was like, oh, we got Demi and Miel. Like, this show's going to print money. Like, it's going to be great.
I'm so there. Do you know what? Sometimes you look back on like where you're at in your career and you're like, wait, there's like a lot of unsung heroes that like maybe didn't have like a real linear hand in your trajectory, but like without them, it definitely would have gone a different way. And I feel like you are one of those for me, Marissa. I'm so grateful to you. Like, I don't know if I would be where I was at without you.
Oh, that's nice. I feel so bad that you guys were doing this show on your own for so long.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to help, but I'm like, well, these people like mix music.
No,
and
I didn't want to do it, no, but I also didn't feel like we didn't have, I feel like, the grounds to be like, hey, we need help. And so eventually I was just like, you don't get help unless you ask for it.
Yeah,
I like really was stressed about it. Honestly, this has been like such a journey for me as like a professional, but also as like an independent person, to just be like learning how to get what you need without making enemies. It seems impossible, but it turns out it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have any ads on this episode, but I should probably take a break anyway, just in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a break right now. Hi, we're back now. Hi, Marissa, you have to say hi.
Hi.
Am I supposed to ask you questions? This feels really self-centered.
No, you don't. Oh, please don't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Want to answer anything.
In this house, we respect boundaries.
Okay, so this next question comes from ChellyBelly8 on Instagram.
That is a good ass username. That's like my first username on AIM kind of situation. I love that.
We have, this is a kind of weird to admit. There's a Punch Up the Jam listener that started following me, and then I started following her because she had cool like Animal Crossing content. But I really love her. I think it's her Twitter handle is @DaddyFatAss. Which I think is very great. Now, I was hoping she would write in so I could say, this comes from Daddy Fatass.
Well, and I love that you're like making friends with listeners. This is the best. I love this goddamn show. And I love everyone that listens to
it.
Yeah,
we have great listeners.
It's truly the best.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, ChellyBelly8 on Instagram asks, have you considered asking Chris to stay on as a permanent co-host?
Have I considered? Of course I've considered it. I would love to trap it. I just don't know if that's going to be possible because Chris is a very busy man and this show is extremely demanding. Mm-hmm. I don't know, honestly, if I can commit. It's like the amount of work that goes into this show is astounding. I don't know of a non-scripted podcast that doesn't have like a team of researchers that has the intense workload that this show has. I mean, this show, I think a lot of people think there's like people behind the scenes. It's literally just me and you. The entirety of this show is me and you.
And most of it is you. And even you've been taking care of the edits for the past few weeks too.
Well,
which is like, wow, that's... Oh, thank God you took care of the edit.
Okay,
because
quick sidebar. I need everyone to know how much more difficult your job as an editor has become since people have started taping independently. Like having to accommodate for latency on Skype calls. It's like when I've been editing, honestly, Marissa, I have been dragging and dropping every single sentence to line up better, to get rid of weird delay. So
absolutely,
every single clip is clipped. The picture I take at the end of an edit, the clips are microscopic. Mm-hmm. It's the most labor-intensive editing I've ever done, and I only have been doing my show. You do how many shows?
I do like 4 weekly.
And how many tracks does each show have?
So All Fancy Everything most of the time has 4. Now that I have a mic, there's now a 5th track to also like sync up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it's tough too because not all guests have recording equipment, so there's like tech issues, or we might get like a faulty recording.
Right. So you're having to like really go in and like spice up every single track. And then, oh my God. Yeah. See, so if I can take some of that workload off of you, like I'm just going to. That seems like the right thing to do.
It helps me a lot. But also then I know that whatever's edited is exactly how you want it to, which is good. And then I could study your edit and see, ooh, this is how Miel likes it.
I am a bit like that expression, kill your little darlings. I might be take that a little too far. Like I'm really quick to just be like, cut it. Like, so that is the way I edit, is like a bit of like a hatchet style. That's me personally. But
yeah, that's me too. I think that's why we get along.
Sorry. I know one time I remember telling you, like I was giving you notes on an edit and I was like, sorry, I just like care a lot. And you were like, no, I do too. And I was like, oh, thank God. Finally.
Yeah, it's nice when a host cares about their show.
I don't actually remember what Chelly Belly 8 even asked anymore.
Oh, considering asking Chris to stay on as a permanent co-host.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, I would love that, but I don't know. I don't know. We're going to find out again. We're all in this together. Or if I'm going back to Janet Jackson, together again. Great song.
Amazing. And this is kind of a follow-up question to Chris from IRL Hannah on Instagram again. They ask, do you and Chris share the same opinion on boba?
I think I'm kind of the type of person that if I'm gonna eat like kind of like a, I would consider boba to be kind of like a luxury item because it is so sweet and so it's a real experience eating boba. Like to me it's kind of akin to like, I don't know, like eating a bag of Doritos. Like it's something that kind of part of the appeal to me is that it is something that is like a special thing.
Mm-hmm. A treat.
Right. Yeah. So in that sense, I think Chris is absolutely unhinged for having boba every single day. And that's, by the way,
every single recording too.
This is what I'm telling you. It's not a bit. Like I think he's kind of trying to pretend like it's like, oh, I was just making a joke, but like, absolutely not. That is art imitating life. This man has boba every day and he always gets it right before we tape and he slurps and chews directly into mic the entire recording,
which is another fun thing to edit out.
That's another reason why I've been like, Marissa, I'm editing this. Like, this is honestly, if you didn't have misophonia before, you're going to after. It's really upsetting. So no, I wouldn't say we share the same opinion. I do love boba. I love it. I just feel like if I had it more than once every 3 weeks, I would not like it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I don't like though? Quick sidebar. I don't know if it's the same. I feel like it's maybe the same thing. Whatever. Is it called bubble tea?
Yep. Same thing.
It is the same thing. Okay. So then what is the name of the thing that has the like balls that burst?
They could be tapioca pearls if they're black.
No, I love tapioca pearls. The chewy shits, those are bomb. But like the bursting balls that like pop in your mouth, like that, you know,
could be like aloe vera or something, like a jelly.
Yeah, it's like I think honestly it's like molecular gastronomy, and sometimes you go to like a boba spot and they also sell that, and I've been duped by it in the past and I feel extremely betrayed. Tapioca pearls are GTFO as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, so you're saying they're way better than tapioca pearls?
the exact opposite. I'm saying I only want tapioca pearls. I'm not interested in any. If I can't chew it, I don't want to do it. Next question.
Great. Eddie Barnhart on Patreon asks, as a writer and musician who seems to love theatrics, what one-hit wonder or past punch-up would you love to see turned into a hella campy musical using the lyrics as the plot line?
Oh my God. First of all, where did you get the idea I love theatrics? Just because I scream constantly? Wow, rude. I am just a big, what they call in the biz, a big personality, and I'm done apologizing for it. I don't have one off the top of my head. I've never really been a musical gal per se, but I feel like the Skater Boy episode, the reason why I think we arrived at the punch up being make it a musical rendition is because I feel like that song was built to be a musical, right? I mean, don't you want to see the story played out on stage? Don't you want to see Skater Boy?
I will say, I think the Skater Boy punch up is my favorite punch up done because I love musicals too. And it was one that you collabed on with Demi. It was a great song.
That was fun.
And it's like, it's criminal that that track is like at the end of a 45 minute long podcast. Like it only exists in podcast form. That is criminal.
This is part of what's so frustrating about the premise of this show that I kind of wish I could go back and talk to my 2017 self to be like, don't do this. Because like sometimes the punch ups we make, I think if they were shared in a different way, like absolutely could go viral. Mm-hmm. But to be like buried in an hour of content, yeah, like only podcast listeners are really getting that. You know what I mean? And like we do release them on Patreon, or what am I saying? I release them on Patreon for individual download if you just want to listen to the song. But it's not really in a shareable format. And I don't have like a social media team to be like making videos to accompany the song so they're independently shareable. And so I just, I'm fucking up a lot, if I'm honest.
No, you're not.
I am fucked up. I have fucked up, and I will fuck up again. Next question.
Amanda underscore Luciano on, I think this is on Patreon. No, probably on Twitter. Whatever. Miel, who had more of an impact on you as a child? Max from the Goofy movie or teenage Simba?
Oh, this is a question that makes me feel like I have shared too much on this podcast. Honestly, I think I saw Lion King at a more impressionable time. Or maybe I just was like really... See, okay, the movie theater on the island, we did have a movie theater, thank you so much, but it did get movies on like a cool 4 month delay. So I saw the Lion King on a different island. The big city island, you know, that has like marginally more people. Their theater had The Lion King like pretty, like maybe only 1 month after release. And I was over there for some reason, maybe the county fair, I don't know. So I saw that on this other island, which already I think when you see movies in a new place, they kind of burn a little harder into your brain. But I also remember specifically when Simba and Nala are like having a fight by a body of water, I believe. He or she, I think I don't remember. One of them goes, are you satisfied? And I remember turning to my dad and being like, psst, dad, what does satisfied mean? Because I was probably like five. So I think that it has to be teenage Simba. No shade to Max. He'll have my heart. But I think teenage Simba really affected me in a way that was like pre-sexual and simultaneously post-sexual. I wouldn't be surprised if like my body changed like forever and irreversibly after seeing that.
Huge.
Like, you know, just like an ovary moved like 1 inch to the right and it stayed that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe this will explain our next question that comes from Mr. Slip4D on Instagram. They say
Slip4D? Mm-hmm. Slip4D. All right. Slip4D. Yeah. I like your priorities.
Mr. Slip4D on Instagram asks, Miel, you haven't talked about edging enough this season. Are you okay?
Oh, well, answer is clearly not. Absolutely no. No, not in the slightest. I feel like you can tell I am barely holding it together. Thank you for asking. I just think that like jokes are less funny to me when they're too close to truth. And I don't know if you've heard me say that I have been alone for 3+ months, but like, You know what I mean? Like, is it funny mm-hmm. to me anymore? I don't know.
When it's reality. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying that. Obviously, I fuck. I'm so fucking. I stay fucking. I be fucking. I'm out in these streets fucking. No, I'm not. That's a joke Chris would make about me. That's not true. I've been very strict with my quarantine. You get it. I don't know. We'll see if it comes back. That's not to say that if it does come back, that means I'm getting laid. Don't read into it. Pretend I said nothing. This is a secret that stays between me and all 500,000 of you. Thank you so much.
M. Bredeau on Instagram asks,
that is my sister.
Why is your sister so cool?
That is the question. Okay, right. Of course. My sister actually is really cool. My sister, I feel like for the good my sister has done for my family name, I have done so much more in the opposite direction. So thank God for her buoying the Bredeau legacy.
So we've been recording for a while now. So we'll say, what, 3 more questions?
I would say if you have like 3 spicy ones, hit me.
Spicy? Ooh, wait, what's a spicy question?
I'm trying to create a ruckus, Marissa. I am bored and I would love some drama.
You're great. At Gwendolyn IRL on Twitter asks, while I love the show with Miel Solo, I miss Demi's contributions. Do you think he will ever appear as a guest?
If you bully him into it, he might. Everyone, tweet at Demi. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I hope so. But the guy is like doing some other shit and taking care of himself. And I would never want him to feel like he had to. You know what I mean? Like if he left because he was kind of over it, I think it might be like as a friend kind of shitty to be like, but hey, because that's not for him. That would only be to serve me, you know, mm-hmm. like he has nothing to gain from that unless he just wants to. And if he ever says he wants to, I want him to come back. But I don't think I'd ask him that. Like, I don't want to put him in that position.
I would just love a FaceTime with his dog.
Oh, my God. Demi got a dog and it's so cute. Clooney.
I'm so happy for him.
God, me too. And he's also like gotten so good at painting. Like, honestly, right. I'm so proud of him. Good for him.
I would definitely buy a print from him.
Are you kidding? I would buy an original. I would spend, let's start the bidding, $10,000.
Ferocious J on Instagram asks, you have the ability to delete exactly one musical instrument from existence. What is it?
Oh my God. That's so much power. I'm not someone that should be trusted with power. You know that quote, like, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think that was about me. I think that was written for me. I guess if I had to say, See, the thing is, I don't know that I actually have qualms with an instrument as much as I just like have had bad experiences with those who decide to play said instrument. Like, I love a saxophone. I've also only known scumbags who play saxophone. Do you know what I mean? Like, the kids in band that played sax were always, like, the absolute, like, shit-eating brown nosers. Like, so, like, I do have a little chip on my shoulder towards saxophonists, but I would never want it to not exist. I love listening to it. Oh, my God, like, a baritone sax? There's nothing like it. I guess if I had to choose an instrument, okay. Oh, the saw. I think, you know what? People play a saw, like an actual saw.
Oh, a saw. So, a saw to cut wood.
Yeah. Like, you can bend it in such a way, and then, like, I think there's a bow involved. I've only seen it a few times, but it makes like a really eerie, like, I cannot imitate it. You're going to have to lay in a sound of a saw being played.
Sure.
I don't love the sound it makes, but more than anything, I think that people that can play it are just so incredibly smug that they can play it. And they're like, oh, that's right. It's a saw. That I would not mind getting rid of that as an instrument.
I was thinking at first I could probably go without recorders, like,
that's a great answer.
But then again, there's so many funny meme videos where it's like someone playing the recorder to like Titanic and it's like sounds very shitty.
Or Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and they're really funny. So I can't go.
They're so funny. I was living in a homestay in Guatemala once, and there was like my roommate, I guess, was like this little like 7-year-old boy, and all he could play was the Titanic song. And I only knew that it was the Titanic song because about 3 of the notes were correct. And it was like a recognizable enough interval that I was like, I think this is Titanic. Every other note was wrong. Every single one. And he played it every day for at least 2 hours a day for the entire month I lived there.
Yikes.
And I wouldn't trade it for the world.
This one may have already been answered, but we might get a new answer out of it. Alicia Atkins from Patreon asks, what's your favorite punch up you've done, or proudest if you don't have a favorite?
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. I feel like it's so rare. I don't feel like since this podcast has started, I've really had enough time to reflect on it, because the nature of it is that I need to like constantly be outputting. And even this month that I'm taking off, I'm just working on other shit constantly. So like, I don't know that I really can answer this until I've had enough time away from it to be able to like have any sort of perspective on it. But like, I don't know. I guess the one that like kind of instantly comes to mind, I was pretty proud of myself. I hate talking about being proud of myself. Okay, whatever. I need to get
over it.
I guess I was pretty... Oh, honestly, I'm like having an anxiety response. Okay, whoo, whoo, whoo. I'm about to close my eyes. I was pretty proud of myself for the Misery Business punch-up, which I think I've mentioned before, but it was really challenging vocally. It's way out of my range, and I didn't want to change the key because I wanted it to feel the same as the original song. So I just really had to scream to get it, and it doesn't sound great, but it also doesn't sound bad. So I was proud of myself for that. And like, I think it's kind of more Demi's cup of tea and expertise to like write a really clever thing that like makes a lot of sense. I think I kind of come from like a more like silly abstract perspective. And I'm not saying that's better. I would way prefer to be able to write like Demi. He's just so clever and so smart. But I feel like for that one, I really tried to kind of write something that I feel like was more Demi-esque, in that it was like a plot synopsis of a movie that I tried to make fit the line lengths and rhyme with the original song. And I had never even seen the fucking movie when I decided to do that. So I had to like watch the whole movie and then write a plot synopsis and then fit it to be a song that already exists and make it rhyme and then sing it. And it was so hard to sing. And by the time I was done, I was like, whoa, that was a lot of work. And kind of for no one, because this is a movie that came out in like, what, 1990? Like, no one's like, yeah, we stand Misery. You guys gotta hear this plot synopsis song. But yeah, I do remember feeling like a warm breeze of relief, which I think maybe was what I'm now identifying as the sensation of being proud of oneself. But I don't know. I don't like listening to it at all. It's just like, I remember feeling like I really worked hard and I deserve to like not work for the next 12 hours until I start on next week's episode.
Okay. I think this will be the last question. It is from Elena Nelson on Patreon. They ask, what's at the top of your post-quarantine bucket list, from the most mundane to the most thrilling?
Oh my God. I want to see my family. That's definitely the top. I miss my family so much. This is the longest I've ever gone without seeing my family. I haven't seen my family in over 6 months. I mean, it's like, for someone that's really close with their family, that's like torture. I just like, oof. But probably the most mundane thing, I just want a hug. I haven't had a hug in over 3 months. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, oh my God, a hug. Like, I don't know if this feeling is like sadness or horniness, but like the idea of a hug right now is like, it's too much. I feel like I'm gonna have a vasovagal response, honestly.
I guess Rue's not big enough to wrap her paws around you to give you a hug.
I have tried expanding her wingspan slowly by stretching her every day, and even at best we're getting like, maybe I have like a broad shoulders. At best it's shoulder to shoulder. I can't get any curl around, and even if it could, she doesn't have thumbs. She can't like grip like a bat. Like,
what about just around the neck?
A hug around the neck, I do make her do that. I stand her up and I put her arms around my neck, and she does hate it. And I say, listen, this is the price you pay for room and board. You have to make me do this like once a day. It's going to happen. Marissa, I can't thank you enough for coming up with this idea to buoy the feed after being gone for 2 weeks and continuing to be gone for whatever the remaining time is. And then coming up with a fun name and making a graphic and getting all these questions, taking the reins and hosting because I physically can't, being an angel, being the best producer in the world. Honestly, if there's one thing I want people to take away from this episode, it's how great you are. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm not great at taking compliments, so that's the most I could say back.
That's why you say, you're welcome, you dumb big old bitch. That's what I do. Makes me feel better about it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, everyone who submitted a question. Sorry if we couldn't get to your question. We actually went way longer than I expected, which
I'm
is good.
We'll cut it down.
It's more content for the feeds, baby. And I certainly want to do something on the feed because I don't know how everyone else's podcast habits have changed since quarantine, but I'm like starved for podcasts now.
Yes, I do feel very guilty about abandoning everyone in their moment of need. But also, like, it feels like such an inappropriate time to be like, listen to me. So like, I am a little relieved. And at the same time, I feel shitty that I haven't been able to do more with my platform because I do have a platform. So like, I'm putting a bunch of shit in the episode description. If you are looking for ways to get more directly involved, links will be there. If there is an ad on this episode, I don't think there is, but if there is, for any reason, donating that fucking revenue straight to these funds, like, we all could be doing more. And if it's not financially, find a way in which you can and then fucking do that.
If you can support financially, there's a really great YouTube video that showcases Black artists, both music artists and just like visual artists, and all proceeds of ads on that video go to, I'm not sure which specific foundation, but to Black Lives Matter. And so if you can't support financially, then just like have that video play in the background. Don't mute it. Keep it at low volume so it still counts. But that's a way you could show support without having to pay up.
Fuck yeah. And in case you didn't see, I already posted about this on Instagram, so I was probably no surprise, but like, absolutely, we need to defund the police. Are you fucking kidding me? Absolutely, we need to defund the police. Anyways.
And we should be back July 2nd with a new episode.
Oh, perfect. Then okay, great. Well, we'll see you then. How do you end this?
I don't know. All right. I'll see you then.
Bye.
Okay, that was
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey.
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.